there, and welcome to the One Church podcast. This message was recorded live at one of our services. If you'd like to know more about life at One Church, visit us online at weareone.church or check us out on social media.
Fantastic. So I was in Poland, as you know, just in July, and I found myself in a position that doesn't happen all that often to me. I found myself in a position where I was entirely unqualified for the job that I was about to do. Entirely unqualified. So I'll set the scene for you. I went on that mission to help Ukrainian kids, and as it happens, we were trying to gather them together and teach them a little bit of English. Okay? Yeah, you're already going, why you? I know. Bristolian English. They could have sent Ed. Ed would have been better. Ed's actually a teacher, okay? They could have sent, there's several of us that would have been more qualified than me. And I found myself in a room with around about 7 or 8 12 and 13-year-old Ukrainian teenage girls. For 3 hours. And I had to teach them English. How many of you know I was praying inside? I was like, and I'm praying, and I didn't know what to do. And thankfully, they put an intern with me who could speak Ukrainian. At least I think she could. And I have no idea what she was saying. I hope she was saying what I was saying. But and literally, within about 35, 40 minutes, I ran out of the content I'd prepared. So I've still got the best part of 2 hours left with 7 or 8 Ukrainian teenage girls to try and teach them English. What would you do? Panic, like I did. So I know we're going to go over to the lake. Okay, there's a lake on the campsite, and there's a lake and the thing, and there's about a 5-minute walk away. I thought I'm going to buy myself at least 5 minutes to think about the next thing I'm going to do. I had no idea what we were going to do when we got to the lake, but I had 5 minutes to come up with a plan while we walked to the lake. And that was where I was at. I found myself entirely unqualified for the task, and yet somehow God had arranged things and orchestrated things sovereignly in the heavens to make Mike Williams be at that place in that time with those girls and in that place. Have you ever felt ever so slightly out of your depth? Have you ever felt like God gave you something to do and he should have given it to Ed? Have you ever felt that way? Me and Ed have a little running joke that I keep picking on him on Sundays. So I'm just going to keep.
It's my turn later.
Yeah, it is. That's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about what qualifies us. And here's one other quick story. When I was about 16 or 17, I was desperate for a job. I wanted some money, right? I was fed up of living off of my parents aren't here today, so I can say it. They were stingy with pocket money. So I was fed up of living off of 50p, you know, a week. And yes, even in the 90s, 50p wasn't very much. So it was not good. I was desperate for a job. This was about 94, 95, something like that, okay? Just to give away my age. So that's where I was. I was desperate for a job. I happened to be in town, and I was walking down Park Row towards the BRI. And I don't know if you know it, but on the rank of shops there, there's a tool shop. A tool shop. Anybody seen that one? Yeah? Yeah, okay. Steve, Nigel, they know about that tool shop. It's a really kind of quirky old tool shop that really deals with kind of quite, what would you call it? Not common tools, quite specialist carpentry type tools and so forth. And there was a sign on the door of that tool shop saying, vacancy, you know, need somebody to work here. I was like, right. So I walked into the shop. I saw the sign on your door. I am here. I will work. Would you like me to work for you? So this man sort of looked up from his little workbench, pulled up his glasses, looked at me, went, do you know anything about tools? No. Have you ever worked with tools? No. I'm sorry, you're not what I'm looking for. Completely unqualified. I just wanted some money. Going to go to the chapter, Acts chapter 13. This is going to make sense. That story will make sense in a minute, I promise. Acts chapter 13, verse 1 to 3. Now, we've read this passage a few times already in this series, and you're probably looking at it going, what more can there possibly be in this one passage that we could speak about today? Aren't you? Yeah. Now, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart from me Barnabas and Saul. Say Saul. Okay, his name gets changed a little bit later on to Paul. Okay, so we're talking about Paul when we talk about Saul. Saul is Paul, Paul is Saul. Saul, Paul. Okay, set apart from me Barnabas and
Saul.
You can say it louder.
Saul.
Paul. It's Paul. Okay, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Now, we know that worked out quite well because we know Paul. And we know all the missionary trips that Paul did, don't we? We know the impact that had on the church at large because we've spoken about that. We know in hindsight that was a brilliant decision that God made just there because Paul and Barnabas, They did an incredible job that God had called them to do. But here's the thing. If we didn't have hindsight, and if we imagined for a minute that 2,000 years of history hadn't happened, and we placed ourselves here on this day in real time, what I think we would discover is that God's calling of Saul, stroke Paul, was a bit mad. Like, I don't think you and I would have picked Paul for this job. I don't think he was qualified. I think Paul was the equivalent of me in a tool shop going, and I'll tell you why. We're going to have a little look at the two, I think, standout candidates for this job. Now, the job is to travel the known world, Europe, okay, and spread the gospel to people who have no idea, not just about Jesus. They have really little idea about Judaism. They have no basic kind of start point. They're just completely unchurched. They don't understand the gospel. They don't know the Bible. They are just wild, okay? And someone has got to get on a boat for a very long time and travel around and take the message of Jesus to those people and plant some churches. Now, if you think back to the book of Luke and the book of Acts, there are two standout characters in the New Testament who could get that kind of job, all right? Two people with a CV. The first one is Paul, and we're going to look at his CV. The second standout character in the Bible is Peter. Yeah, they're the two big leaders of the early church, the two kind of standout candidates that God called to develop the early church. And I want to make the case to you that if you were there in real time and we didn't know all the history, you'd choose Peter and not Paul. You'd choose Peter, not Paul, to do this job. And here we go. We're going to look at their CVs. They're going to come up on the screen. We're going to look at my CV. I forgot about that. Let's just look at my CV. What's this laughter about? Ed.
It's a long-term project.
Thank you. I'd forgotten I was going to show you this, actually. I'd forgotten I was going to show you my own CV. Looks like this. So GCSE levels. Thank you very much. Two Bs. Come on. That's right. I was happy with that. I want to tell you, that was more than they thought I would get as well. Two C's, hang about, two C's, geography and French, two C's, IT, D. Okay, but the computers back then were not what they are today. I'm defending myself. They took a lot more effort. English literature, D, was never much of a reader or a writer. I'm an author now. Just want to put that out there. Yeah, put that out there. Business, oh dear. Business did not go well. Business did not go well. Then I went on to A-levels, art and media. They were pretty much my two favorite subjects. And there you go, two E's. I know. media in a diploma. A diploma is like a one-year foundation course before you do a degree. I got a B in that, quite well in that one. I actually worked hard at that one. And then I passed a youth work diploma as well. So that's about where I'm at in terms of my education. Now, and yet today, you would not have said that that person might have been a published author or even somebody leading others. All right? Sometimes your CV is not the best descriptor of your future and the best descriptor of who you are. And I think I'm living proof of that. Although many of you may be looking at it and going, yeah, that explains a lot. Okay. It does. Can we look at Peter's CV, John? Is that on there? Okay, here's Peter's CV. I want to let you know something about Peter. Firstly, you need to know about Peter is he was unprivileged. Unprivileged. Now, in Jewish society, okay, you had kind of very much a class system where you had the religious class, the Pharisees, Sadducees, the people who were really significant in society, the privileged, the intelligent, the ones that had really been highly educated. They were the privileged few, and then the rest of us, the unprivileged, okay? Peter was one of the few, one of the unprivileged. He was not the guy that made it to the top of the tree. He was not a Pharisee. He's not a religious leader. He wasn't necessarily respected by the synagogues or anybody with any, in that society, any sense of significance. Peter was not that guy. He was a fisherman. He was an ordinary guy. He was left behind, really, by the religious system. So that meant that he was, from the age of 12 at least, always around working people. He was in the working class of his society. He was able to relate to ordinary people, able to relate to other people who were unprivileged, perhaps weren't educated that well. He was really able to connect and relate with people, and they would relate with him because he wasn't one of the bigwigs. Okay, that's on his CV. He's unprivileged. His education was average at best. Okay, so again, in Jewish society, when you hit 12, if you didn't pass a certain exam, if you didn't pass a certain test, which was really super hard, you were then left to go and find work, okay? And that's Peter. Peter didn't pass the exam. He didn't make it through. If he had made it through, he might have had a shot over his teenage life of more education and then potentially join in the significant class of the day, the religious leaders. But he failed. So his education was actually quite average. What that meant was he was a simple guy. And we know that from reading the Bible, don't we? Peter was quite simple. And in the eyes of the Jewish world, insignificant. If you're a religious leader, if you're a Pharisee, if you're somebody who's got significance, you're not listening to Peter's point of view. You're not taking him seriously. You're not going to follow him because he hasn't reached a certain standard of education. Does that make sense? Third thing about him, he's a fisherman. What does that mean? It means he spent large quantities of time on a boat. Lastly, he's a working man. He's able to look after himself. You know, he's got working hands. He's a brave man. And we can see then that in the Gospels, we can see Peter was quite bold and quite brave. So I'm just trying to build a picture for you of the kind of guy Peter is. Okay, let's do the same, but let's look at Paul. Okay, here's Paul's CV. Well-educated. Paul did make it through the test. Paul is the kind of person who had significance in the eyes of the Jewish culture of the day. If you were a Jewish leader or a Pharisee, you would listen to Paul. Paul had the capacity to operate on that level intellectually. He was well-educated. Okay. He was an expert in the Torah and the law and the prophets. That's basically our Old Testament. He could recite that by heart. The whole thing. The whole thing. Not just the first five. The whole thing. He was clever. And he knew his Bible. And if you needed anybody to talk about the expert things of Judaism with the Jews, it would be Paul. Are you following me? He was well connected. He moved in those circles with the religious leaders of Jerusalem. He moved. They knew him. He knew them. He served them. He was part of that culture and part of those circles. He was able to reason and debate with other experts because that's what they did all the time. He was a brilliant debater. And probably, unlike Peter, a little physically unimpressive, prone to seasickness. Okay, those are your two candidates. Now, God needs one person to go to the Jews and lead them to Christ. And he needs one person to go to the rest of the world and lead them to Christ. Who do you pick? I'd pick Paul to go to the Jews and Peter to go to the rest of the world. I'd put Peter straight on a boat and say, get out there. And I'd keep Paul in Jerusalem to debate with the experts. And yet the reverse is what actually happened. God put Peter in Jerusalem and Paul on a boat. He took the expert Jew with all the ability to reason with everyone in Jerusalem, and he took him to the far ends of the Roman Empire where nobody gave a monkey's about Judaism and where all of his education and skills mattered very little. And he put Peter, who nobody would listen to, and he was a fisherman, and he failed the exam, in Jerusalem to reach out to the Jews. So if you go back in real time and you imagine nothing, we didn't know anything that happened after that, all our hindsight, and you just go to this verse where it says, and God set apart Saul, or Paul, for the work I've called them, you could imagine Paul going, because he knows he's going to find himself, like me, in a room with some Ukrainian teenage girls going, I have no idea what to say to them, or the equivalent. And yet we find this theme. It's like hinting at a theme we see throughout the Bible. Let me give you some other examples where we see this theme in the Bible. Genesis. Joseph is the bullied and rejected brother called to save his own family. Work that one out. Exodus is the wanted fugitive called to go to Pharaoh. Gideon is the least of his family in the least of tribes called to command all the tribes. Samuel is a boy called to prophesy to a prophet about his future. David is the forgotten son and shepherd boy who's called to be the king of a nation. Esther is a young girl who is in a patriarchal empire called to stand up against a wicked man. Peter is the untrained Jewish boy called to witness to the Jews about their Messiah. Paul is the expert Jew called to leave the Jews to witness to the Gentiles. How do we explain this theme? Because it keeps coming up throughout scriptures. And it seems to run countercultural to what we all know to be wisdom today, which is find your strength and live in your strength. Do the thing you're good at. It seems to run countercultural to that, doesn't it? There must be a reason God would do that. There must be a heavenly wisdom that we need to tap into. There must be a reason. And I wanted to suggest to you that there are three things that we need to take away. Number one is this. God's ways are higher. Isaiah chapter 55 says this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. I want to explain to you that verse. It means this: God has a higher reasoning and wisdom that makes our wisdom look foolish. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing both in you and through you when he puts us into places where we feel unqualified. I don't know about you, but when I'm in that place, I certainly pray harder. Well, there's a good reason. I certainly stopped relying on myself and thinking I'm the savior of the world, and I really rely on the savior of the world. I put myself in a greater space of faith when I feel unqualified than when I feel great and strong. There's a reasoning and a thought process that God has that's about your development and about your faith and about what he wants to do through you. And here's the other thing. On the other side, who gets the glory? God gets the glory. If you and I did it in our own strength and absolutely nailed it, everyone's going to cheer us. But if you and I are found in a place where we're entirely unqualified and yet God uses us, everyone goes. There must be a God. There must be a God. So God's ways are higher. There's a higher reasoning. Number two, God's means are different. 1 Corinthians 1. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. God's means for accomplishing his work in the world are different. He's not the employer that's looking for the most gifted, most intellectual, best CV to get his work done. That's just not how God works. God looks for availability and faith. And he ignores the CV. He actually ignores, and sometimes if we come to him with our CV, he goes, right, and he gives us the opposite job. Hence Paul and Peter. Suddenly, we're back in that space of having to rely on him again. It's God who qualifies us, not our CV. And he's looking for things like availability and faith. Availability is just, use me, Lord, I'm here. Faith is, I trust you to give me the means through which to accomplish any task you give me. Yeah, lastly, God works through weakness. 2 Corinthians 12. But he said to me, this is God said to me, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, and in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The Apostle Paul wrote those words. The same Paul who was sent to a bunch of people for which he was unqualified, compared with Peter. And what he said was this, what I think the revelation he had was this: in my weakness, God's strength shines. His strength comes. And I'd rather that than my own strength. I'd rather be operating in his strength than operating in my strength. So, God's ways are higher. He's got a higher reasoning. God's means are different, and God works through weakness. It means this for you and I today, that if you've come to God with an empty CV, you're still in.
So good. Yeah, absolutely.
If you're looking at your CV and going, oh, I've got a couple of E's in prayer. I've got an F in Bible reading. Yeah, I've got an ungraded in leadership. I can't remember the last time I fasted. And you're looking at your CV and going, oh, that counts me out. I want to tell you, you're not out yet. Because it's in your weakness God's strength comes. And you could be a Peter and a Paul. In fact, God may call you to places and you think, what? Where? When? Poland? Teenage girls? English is just not me. After that mission finished, the parents came to pick up the kids. And they had a chance to hang around and meet us and chat to their kids. And several of those teenage girls' parents came to me. And they were just so overwhelmingly grateful, because they could tell in just a few minutes the impact that we'd had in that week. So, you never know what God might do through you. If you just make yourself available and you trust him, you don't have to have the best CV in the room. Can we pray?